Could you join me as we come before the Lord? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord God. You are a good Father. We just thank you for the privilege that we can come before you, Lord, at a moment's notice. And on this Lord's Day, Father, we just come asking, knowing that you won't give us a stone if we ask for a fish. And so, God, we enter your throne room this morning with the privilege that you give to us as being sons and daughters of the Most High. Lord, you won't turn us away. We have tremendous privilege because of what your Son has done for us on the cross. And Lord, we just are mindful of many blessings, and we know that there are many in the world that need your help. And so, Lord, we just commit these that have been lifted up here by name to you. We pray that you would continue to move mightily in those that are having health issues. We pray especially for those that are struggling with cancer, Father, and we pray for good test results. We pray for wisdom for the doctors as they're dealing with each patient, Lord, and we pray for good outcomes. Lord, we ask that you would bring healing to those who have been injured in falls or have hurt themselves in some way recently, Lord. We ask for healing for each one. We thank you for the grace that you've given to us. And we thank you for the privilege that we can cry out for others to you. And so, Lord, would you move mightily? And we thank you, Lord, for new life. And we pray for that you might surround those that are giving birth, Lord, that you would help each one to come through. And we pray, Father, that you would move in such a way that through the doctors and nurses that the procedures that are needed, Lord, would be intrusive, and that you would just allow things to go naturally. And we give you thanks, Lord, for you are a God of that grants life and gives life, and we thank you for that. We know, Father, there are many in the world that are struggling, and so we know, Father, particularly in the Philippines, with the strongest storm ever recorded in recent history, Lord, meet the needs there. There'll be those that won't have drinking water. There'll be those that will be hungry. And so you've asked us to pray for today's bread. And so would you meet the needs of those that don't have? We are mindful that we're to pray for our leaders, Lord. And we do thank you for the country in which we live. And we ask that you would surround those that govern with wise counselors. Help them to make good decisions that we might live lives that are peaceable. Father, we pray you would continue yet to use our nation and the end times, and that there would be yet a revival, a renewal of faith in this country, and many would turn to you yet, Lord, in this last hours. And so, God, we pray, Father, that you might move in a mighty way. Thank you for the witness and the testimony and the example of Billy Graham and the recent My Hope campaign. Lord, we pray that there would be many that would have given their hearts and lives, maybe just watching the TV program and sharing with those in their homes. Lord, we know that this was a desire that Billy had here on his 95th birthday, that this would be his greatest campaign and crusade ever. And so we pray, Lord, that that would be true. We ask that you might surround those new believers now with those that can guide, encourage, and strengthen them in the way. And so, Lord, we just thank you and praise you and rejoice with the angels in heaven as these new believers join the family of God. Lord, we're mindful at this time. We have much to be thankful for. And as the pumpkin here on the communion table reminds us to give thanks, Lord, we do. Thank you, Lord, in gratitude for all that you've given to us and all that you have done for us and all that we are yet to experience, Lord, we give you thanks. And we pray in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Scripture that I've chosen for today is found in Acts 26. And it is a story here of Paul. As you know, towards the end of his life, he has come to share his testimony before those in very prominent positions, king and leaders of that time. And I thought it would be interesting to hear some of the thoughts that he shared. So I would encourage you, to, if you have time later, to read the beginning and the ending of this chapter. It really all goes together, but I'm just going to pick out a few of the verses here, beginning in verse 9. These are the words of Paul, the great evangelist. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray for me, please? Father, we ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would indeed be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to thank you for this opportunity to share with you God's word today. Appreciate being able to stand here in Paul's place. And it's so important that pastors have a chance to get away and spend a little time with their family. And so thank you for allowing them to do so and for me to be able to have this privilege. I'd like to start today with a poem. And it is it's entitled Story. And it's actually a Jewish teaching. And it goes like this. Truth, naked and cold, had been turned away from every door in the village. Her nakedness frightened the people. When Parable found her, she was huddled in a corner, shivering and hungry. Taking pity on her, Parable gathered her up and took her home. There she dressed Truth in Story, warmed her, sent her out again. Clothed in Story, Truth knocked this time again at the villagers' doors, and was readily welcomed into the people's houses. They invited her to eat at their table and to warm herself by their fire. Well, Truth is more easily welcomed and received when dressed in Story. So let me share a story with you. Once upon a time, isn't that how great stories begin? Once upon a time, there was a baby girl. She was the 11th child born to a farm family. And as a young girl, she walked across the fields to the one-room schoolhouse nearby, her hair in pigtails, tempting the boy behind her to dip them in the inkwell on his desk. The economy was depressed, so she trapped skunks and raccoons and sold their hides to make some spending money. As a young lady, she fell in love with a young man, and they soon ran off to get married to Hagerstown without their parents' blessing. World events had entered their family's lives, and five of her brothers went off to war at the same time. Later, her husband went to war as well. Meanwhile, she began to build the home, and it was a half of a house literally a half of a house, and it was the talk of the valley for many years until it was completed later. When he returned, war had changed him, seeing too much. He drank, and he became physically abusive and saw other women. Three sons were born to this couple over the years, and each pregnancy was very difficult. First one, she had to learn to walk all over again, and the relationship grew worse. One night, she received a severe beating, which broke her eardrum, and she thought about taking her own life. But in the darkest hour, she feared what would happen to her three little boys if something happened to her. And so she cried out to God in prayer, asking for help. Later, leaving her home for good this time, she found a small apartment in town and started a new life as a single parent. Working long hours at the local company and with the help of family and friends, God provided for them, and she found that God did answer her prayers. God was meeting her needs. Fast forward a little bit, she met a farmer. They got married and celebrated 44 years together. In June, she turned 80. That woman is my mother, and here's a picture of her. And I would not be standing here today if it wouldn't be for her love, her sacrifices, and her daily prayers for me. Her story is part of my story. And each of us have a story of how God has moved in our lives and how he has taught us various lessons throughout those experiences and brought us to faith and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought, since this is my first time with you today, it might be good to share a little bit about my personal story and my testimony. A testimony is a short summary of what God has done in your life. It talks about the evidence of the change of character or attitude or conduct that has happened or taken place as a result of the Holy Spirit's work in your life. And it gives God praise and glory for what he's done. So, as you've kind of suspected already, my childhood was a little bit rocky with an alcoholic father, and my parents divorced, and both of those remarried later and had good lives. My dad passed away about 5 years ago, and so I'm a little bit more free now to tell the story and to share a little bit more about what has happened and transpired in our family. We were not a church-going family. And so as a young child, I can remember longing for some sorts of normalcy. You know, what is a family? What does a normal family do? Have a sense of family. We were exposed to the Word very early on. I can remember going to a vacation Bible school. It was not a Brethren church, but I can remember sitting near the front, all the kids lined up at the front, and the lady up front leading the songs. And I can remember peering over the pew like this, you know, and just kind of amazed at all that was going on and hearing the stories of Jesus for the first time. At 10, my aunt used to babysit us, and she had a tree in the backyard, and she had taken a photograph of me up in the tree, and I hadn't seen it years later until her funeral. My cousin came by, and they had divided the pictures up, and said, "Here's some pictures that you might like to want, like to have," and in among those pictures was this picture of me up in the tree. Anyway, Aunt Emma always said that one day I'd be a preacher, so she was right, even from the beginning. When my mother remarried and we moved to the farm, we began attending a Brethren church, and we began hearing talk that summer about a camp. And my stepbrother, who was 10 days older than I am, we began to connive about how we might be able to get out of some summer work. And talked Mom and Dad into letting us go to church camp. Sounded like a good vacation for us. You know, when the kids get out from school, they're like, "Yay, summer break." And we're like, because, you know, now we're going to have to pick rocks and bale hay and all that kind of stuff. And so we began pleading with Mom and Dad to let us go to church camp, and they agreed to do so. Little did I realize that this would be a change, a complete change of of way for me, a complete change of heart, because it was there at camp that I experienced my conversion. I needed to feel accepted and loved, and I knew that God understood my hurting heart. And really, that week was just an amazing thing. God brought together the right people to be our counselors, and we just really felt God's presence and God's love during the week. In fact, I still get a card, birthday card, from my camp counselor, Doris. She's 90, and she always remembers my birthday. I can remember at Camp Ader that we would sleep in the covered wagons, and so, you know, the first night as a kid at camp is always very exciting, and you're nervous, and you don't want to go to sleep and everything. And so here we are gathering in the wagon, and this the guy that's going to be my counselor for this week was a really, really tall man. He climbed telephone poles for a living, and his name was Charlie. And as we began to settle down, and we're in our sleeping bags and turning out our flashlights, the last image I had was Charlie kneeling by his cot and praying. It's the first time that I ever saw a man pray, and that image was kind of burned onto my memory. Well, we had, during the week, we had Brother David Lehigh, who was a good brethren man who had this old brethren beard, would come and share at the campfire each evening and tell stories, and they were fascinating. And we just had a delightful time. Well, towards the end of that week, because it was such a great week, we didn't want to go home. And we experienced that last night around the campfire. And as we gathered around the campfire, it came out that one of our girls, who was 14, was going to have to go home and tell her parents that she was pregnant. And as we were dealing with that and sharing, the love of God just came down in a tremendous way. There was a sense of light and love around that campfire. We were running around hugging each other and crying and bawling, and we didn't know why. And we just experienced God's presence in a tremendous way. When I came home from camp, of course, then I was wanting to go to church. And then in the fall, we had revival. I went forward and was baptized on April the 15th. I'm not sure why that was the date, but tax day. And we just had a wonderful youth group, and God used us in a mighty way, pulling us together and making us feel like a sense of a family together. We had a great pastor who was involved in our youth group, and God used each one of us in a very special way. There was about 10 or 12 of us, and I think almost everyone is involved in ministry somehow today. Well, in the course of time, they asked me to do a message, a sermon. And we had the youth group sponsored an August outdoor, what we called a Galilean service. We met at a pond. One of the members had a beautiful setting there and had kept it mowed around the pond. And it was just a delightful evening. People would come there, bring their lawn chairs, and would sit out and sing and praise and have worship. And the speaker would row out into the middle of the pond in a boat and stand up and try to preach. And so this opportunity was given to me. And I can tell you my knees were knocking as I shared about sharing Jesus and talked about that Jesus is Lord. Well, one day, as I was had graduated from high school, and I was the last one to be on the farm, I was out raking hay one day, and I felt the Lord leading me to go into Brethren Volunteer Service, BVS. And so I shared this with Mom and Dad. They weren't too excited about losing their last hired hand, but finally agreed, and I went into BVS in 79, and of course, then ended up in Frederick and working with the youth. Later returned to help on the farm and then came back to Frederick again to work with the Deaf Fellowship. It was through this time then that I met my wife at Frederick, and we got married in 89, and I graduated from Hood College in 95. I was involved in youth ministry, deaf ministry, and at Harmony as their pastor for the last 16 years. And so we have been blessed in many ways. My favorite scripture is Psalms 1. And it says, "Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he delight day and night. And so I think about, you know, how God has blessed us. You know, when you're meditating on God's word, that is the secret to success. And it is an opportunity that God uses to put his word into our lives. I'm thankful for a praying mother, a loving mother, a good stepfather who provided for us. I'm thankful for our family. I have three sons, turned 21, 18, and 13. God has blessed us in many ways. He has used us in ministry to help people and to bless them as they have blessed us. And so that's just a little bit of my testimony of how God has included me in the family of God and the tremendous meaning that has for me. Each of you have a testimony. Each of you have your own story. And I'd love to, if we had time, to hear more of your story and the story of this congregation. I know that there are yet chapters to be written. And as you have began as a congregation in the 1853, right before the Civil War, this building was built, people have worshipped here down through the years. We have tremendous story to share with those around us. I believe that there are yet good days ahead. If the Lord would tarry, that he would want us to share our story with those around us. I've chosen this scripture for today because it is really, in a sense, Paul's testimony. And he has given a tremendous platform to share his story. And it is the story of God working in his life and touching the lives of others. They say that history is God's story. And I love history, and I love to hear what's going on and what has happened. Sometimes history repeats itself, but God is doing a tremendous work in the world today. Well, we know, and we probably, you know, we wouldn't have half of the New Testament if it wouldn't be for Saul, who became Paul. Saul was a very religious man. He was trained under the best scholars of his day, Gamaliel. And Saul was very religious. He was very inspired and wanted to continue in a very strict Judaism his faith and practice. And so this new faith that was coming on the scene, the way, was a threat to him. He was a Pharisee and a persecutor of this way. And as he gives his testimony here before King Agrippa. We know the story. Hopefully most of you are familiar with the Damascus encounter that he had with Christ on the road. The experience then going to Ananias and receiving his sight again. God was going to show him many things that he would have to do. Little did he realize that that included beatings, imprisonment, shipwrecks. You name it, he experienced it. And yet, here he is at the end of his life, a missionary and a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and given an opportunity to share his experiences and his testimony before some of the most important people of the day. I hope that you'll get a chance to read the rest of the chapter, because, you know, they were almost convinced. Agrippa said, would you have me to be like you? And Paul said, yes, I wish that you were all like me, except for these chains, except for this imprisonment that I'm experiencing. And they said to themselves, one another, quietly behind doors, you know, we could have let him go. We find no fault in him. We could have let him go if he hadn't appealed to Caesar. And so Paul was yet going to even speak before some of the most important people of his time. Well, a testimony is very important, and it is essential that we as a church today recognize God's story down through the ages, and that story has included our Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ. I had an opportunity last February to go to Israel, and if you ever get a chance to visit the Holy Land, it's a wonderful experience. Do it. Don't worry about security issues. You will be safe. You'll be fine in a group. And it is just tremendous to be able to walk where Jesus walked, and to see some of the things and the places that we've read about for years and we tell stories about. It's so important to understand the place these the events take place in. Well, you know, God is still using His people today to bring about salvation all across the world. And one of the things that we saw is that, you know, the church hasn't replaced Israel. God is going to keep all of His promises that He's made to them and to us, and that we have tremendous privilege to be engrafted into the tree, engrafted into the family of God. And I saw that on my trip last year, and I heard it again. The things that are happening in the world today are just astounding to see and to hear what God is doing. Yesterday, I interpreted for a deaf Jewish man at El Shaddai. It was a Messianic Jewish congregation, and they had a man from who was leading the Messianic Jewish congregation in Tel Aviv come and share. And just in the last month, they had 15 people come to know the Lord. Now, I can tell you that evangelism is not easy in Israel, God is doing a tremendous work. And in just what generation, probably there weren't more than 25 believers in Israel 25 years ago. Today there is 20,000. There are 150 churches, Messianic Jewish churches in Israel. And they love the Lord and are reaching out and are growing. And so it is tremendous to see that, you know, God called Paul to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And the word of God was to go forth from the Holy Land out into all the earth, from Samaria to the ends of the earth. And now that word is coming back to Israel. And people are moving back to the land excited about the end times and what's going to take place. And so we have tremendous privilege as a church to be in prayer, to support our brothers and sisters around the world, wherever they might be, and to recognize that we're part of the same family. We have been given the privilege to be a part of God's family through what He's done through people like Paul. Well, as the poem I shared today said that, you know, truth is often accepted when it is dressed in story, and we love to hear a good story. I believe Pastor Paul is a good storyteller, and you know, we followed the Master, and the Master was the best storyteller. The parables we still love to read and try to understand them, they were stories that Jesus told to convey a spiritual truth, to help us to come to know Him. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never taken the opportunity to write down your testimony, take a few minutes and do that. And you ought to have your testimony in two forms. You ought to have a short form and a long form. And the short form is like, you know, just in a minute or two, you meet somebody on the street, you can tell them, what's the Lord done for you? What does the Lord mean to you? How did you come to faith? These kinds of questions are good to kind of put that together in a very short summary that you could, not beating someone over the head with a long, boring story, but something that you could just share very quickly, how God has moved and touched your heart in life. And then you want to have a longer story. If you're given an opportunity to speak in front of a group, you might have a chance to share how God has moved in your life. What things has God used to touch your heart and to bring you to faith? And that is very important for us, each of us, to share and to have our testimony ready and to include the gospel in that presentation. What does it mean to have Jesus in your heart and life? It means so much to me to be a part of the family of God, and to have a family, to be a part of a family. I'm one that I love to go to family reunions, and just, you know, it's a chance to connect with cousins you haven't seen for a while. And, you know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be like a tremendous family reunion. There are going to be people there that we have known. There are going to be people there that we may have not yet met here on earth, but our brothers and sisters in Christ are going to be there. Well, God is moving in a tremendous way. And you know, it's important for us to have our testimony ready and to share the story. I love to tell the story as the hymn goes. I love to tell the story of what Christ has done in our lives. The Bible says that let everything be confirmed by two or three witnesses. And so, you know, your testimony is important because it can't be refuted. It's not just your opinion, but it is your experience and what God has done for you in your life. And so this means so much to an unbeliever to hear. In July, I took my youngest son, Ethan, to Gettysburg for the 150th anniversary, and we went up on a Sunday morning. I didn't have to preach anywhere that day, and so I said, let's go to Gettysburg. He loves Civil War history, and so we pulled into Gettysburg and noticed that they had a tent setting up right near there, and there was a worship service beginning to take place, and so we hurried, found a place to park, and went across the street. And there was an evangelist there sharing the story about the Jewish surgeon during the Civil War. As you know, that because of the war, many amputees needed to be taken care of. There was arms and legs that had to be cut off as a result of the battle, and just tremendous carnage. And as this surgeon was going about his business of trying to bring healing and helping those who were wounded, I came across a little boy. It was a drummer boy. His name was Charlie. And he wanted to try to ease Charlie's pain, and so he offered him chloroform, which was the anesthesia of that day. And Charlie refused. He said, no. He said, I just want to have the priest come, the pastor come and share from the Bible. And so they arranged for the pastor to come, and he had a couple words and prayed with Charlie, and he said, now I'm ready. And so they gave Charlie a bullet to bite on. And he said, now, before you operate, I want you to know that I have a best friend, and he's Jewish. And so I'm praying for you, doctor. I'm praying that God would use you today. And so he just simply said a prayer, Jesus, help me. And he went through the amputation of an arm and a leg. Afterwards, he wasn't doing so well, and so it came about 4 or 5 days later. The doctor went in to check on him, and Charlie said, I want you to know that I'm praying for you, doctor. I'm praying that you might come to know my friend, that he might save your soul. And he said, will you always remember this? And he promised him he would, and Charlie passed away. Well, the surgeon couldn't get this out of his mind. And of all the funerals that were taking place in Gettysburg that week, Charlie's was the only one that he went to. It affected him. Somehow he was so touched by the courage and the faith of this young man. And he couldn't get those last words out of his mind. And so he went to the funeral. Well, the surgeon continued his life, and things weren't going so well for him. He fell down on his luck. He began to drink, and years later, he ended up in New York City. And because of his life was such a problem, he heard about this fantastic prayer meeting, and he decided to go to this prayer meeting. It was held at a church there in New York, and as they were having their prayer meeting, the lady got up, they were praising the Lord, and lady in the back stood up, and she said, I just want to thank the Lord for my life, and for my son Charlie. I lost him during the Civil War a few years ago, and he's just meant so much to me. And about that time it struck him, this woman is Charlie's mother. And he stood up and he said, ma'am, he said, I operate on your son, and his faith has saved me. He became a Christian. And she had the wonderful blessing to know that Charlie's faith had touched the surgeon that day. Well, brothers and sisters, as the evangelist was sharing this this testimony and acting it out and sharing and talking about this, at the end of the service in Gettysburg that day, he said, you know, gave the altar call. He said, is there anybody here that doesn't know the Lord? You know, this is a tremendous story. It actually happened here. And, you know, God will give you the same kind of grace that he's given to this surgeon. And in a group of about 50 people, some reenactors and some tourists, three men put their hands up to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. They were in their retirement years. Here at the end of their age, in the end of their life, they were yet reached. They were saved because of this testimony, 150-year-old testimony of a little drummer boy from Gettysburg, and they came to faith. We have three new brothers in the family of God, and we should rejoice with the angels in heaven. And God has yet spared them and has given life to them. We rejoice that, you know, the power of a testimony can mean so much. God can use that very simple thing in tremendous ways. And so I want to encourage you today to share your story. How is it that you came to faith? You know, you should not leave this earth, if the Lord would tarry, that your kids and your grandkids and your neighbors shouldn't know how you came to faith. They probably recognize that you're a believer. They see you leave for church on Sunday. But do they know how you came to faith? Do they know what were the key things that God used? What's really important that touched you about the gospel story? It's important to pass that on and let others know. It may not be dramatic, but it's significant that God has, in his grace, reached out and in his mercy has saved you, has saved me. And so I encourage you to keep your story fresh. You know, what is God doing today? How is God working in your life? And as we share these experiences with others, they will be touched that there is a God, that the God is real, and that he is working and moving in our lives today. And so as you continue to worship, as you continue to dig into the Word, as you continue to work at memorizing the Word and hiding his Word in your heart, God will use that to make your life successful. And I remember, I think about the verse that Jesus said. He said that, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." You know, it's in the Scriptures that we see the Lord Jesus Christ, in the old and the new. And in this amazing story of how God is working in our lives down through the history and working in current history today. There's a quote here that I'll leave you with. It's from a theologian. It says that every happening, great and small, is a parable whereby God speaks to us, and the art of life is to get the message. Let me say that again. Every happening, great and small, is a parable whereby God speaks to us, and the art of life is to get the message. Did you get the message? Pay attention to the details. Recognize the important events in your life. Remember the important people that God has brought across your path to help you come to faith. Maybe the lessons that God's taught you or you're still learning. Share those truths with the next generation. Share those that they might also come to faith, that they might also experience the grace and the mercy and the love of God. The story of Jesus is not just the story. It's not just a testimony of Paul. It is the story. It is the story of all time. That is why we're here. The Bible is still the number one bestseller. And did you know that the Old and New Testaments really point to the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he has done for us? And I hope that you have had an encounter, an experience with God, with the living God, and that you'll share that. And if you've never had an opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do so today. Today is the day of salvation, and so that you might also have a story then to share. You know, I don't know about you, but I love to hear a good story. And I love to hear what God is doing in the world today. And perhaps God will use you to bring one or two or three into the family of God. Share the story. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? God, our Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in the good news of your love for us and that you sent your Son to the cross to die for our sins. Thank you, Lord, that you have adopted us into the family of God. Help us, Lord, not to be tight-lipped about that. Help us, Lord, to express our faith in words, to share, and to sing about your tremendous work in our lives. And we pray in your name. Amen. I'd like for you to join me to stand in a closing hymn here. I love to tell the story. Let's sing it out. I love to tell the story. Number 444.
Thanks, Dave.
Oh,
go and share the story. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.